Well, good morning. You know, as I've been preparing for this, since February, we had a marriage retreat, and it seems like I have just been stuck on thinking of marriage, thinking of the picture that marriage represents, in that the church is the bride of Christ. And I've just had a joy thinking through all of that. And of course, in the middle of all of that, I've shared some of my thoughts and had the privilege of doing a wedding and all of this and premarital counseling. And so a lot of my thoughts have been geared toward marriage. And you know, the one passage that everybody thinks of when you think of a marriage ceremony is 1 Corinthians 13, right? Well, maybe not all of you, but some. You know, that's the passage that people want read at their wedding. And as we look this morning at 1 Corinthians 13, as I was preparing for this, and I've been, this is kind of something that's been rolling around in my head for a while, and I want to just throw out the caveat that I'm not responsible for whatever emotional outbursts might happen this morning, but in a good way. I want you to know that as we walk through this, as we take a look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we just spent a lot of time in 1 Corinthians not that long ago here. And as we look at that, as we think back of what we talked about, what we learned in 1 Corinthians, we saw that Paul was writing to the Corinthians as a church that was filled with divisions, filled with hard times. They just weren't getting along with each other. And there were a lot of things going on that were in the church that Paul felt it important to address, and he did. But the church was filled with an environment of spiritual superiority as well. And that was kind of easy to have displayed because there was a lot of immorality. So it's easy to feel righteous and to sound righteous in the face of these things that they were also seeing in the church. But what I want to talk about this morning is how we address one another. What does my love sound like? As I was preparing for this, I kind of got stuck in the first verse. And God just did an amazing work in my life through this. But it's easy as we read through 1 Corinthians, it's easy to look at the spiritual ladder and see ourselves on a higher rung than somebody who's engaging in gross immoral sin. It's easy to look on the spiritual ladder and think that I am better than the person sitting down the row from me. Because we look at the outside, we see what we see, and we make assumptions based on that. But I want to start out this morning helping us understand that it was Paul's desire for the Corinthian church to understand their need for unity, to understand that at the foot of the cross, it doesn't matter how high up on the ladder you are, you're nowhere compared to what happened at the cross. I hope that we'll see this morning that it's important how we talk to one another, how we speak to one another, that the Lord doesn't want us to be a clanging gong or a loud cymbal. But we want to look at 1 Corinthians 13 and talk about there is a more excellent way. And hopefully we'll see what that way is. But as we start out this morning, I want to start in Revelation chapter 2. This is something that the Lord just kind of thrust in my lap as I was preparing this. Because frankly, a lot of the material from what I was thinking and rolling through my head was from Ephesians. And if we look at Revelation chapter 2, we see what God says to the church at Ephesus. It says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, the words of him who hold the seven stars in the right hand, who walk among the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are found to be false. All sounds good so far, doesn't it? It's a good thing. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the work of the Nicolaitans, those people, which I also hate. Wow. So much good in there, right? But if you do not have the love that you had at first, I want to keep this in mind as we go through this. And as we talk about this toward the end, I'm going to share with you a story of what God did in my heart through all this. So let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it starts out actually in verse 31 of chapter 12. And I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Consistent theme here, right? But love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. So what is the still more excellent way that Paul's talking about? He had just finished up in chapter 12 talking about how much the gifts had been given to the church and what a great thing it was for these gifts to be used in the body of Christ. And those Those are a good thing. But there's still a better way. And it's interesting, as we look at this passage, as we talk about these things, those gifts are a good thing. But left by themselves, they're not enough. Doing the right thing is good. Doing the right thing is also nothing if done without love. Do you see where we're headed this morning? As we talk about this, you know, it's, and I'm, don't get me wrong, I firmly believe that the truth is important. The truth is critical to what we're talking about. But as we look at this morning, I want to challenge our thinking. I want to ask the question, have I left the love that I had at first in order to do something that is good? Now, how can you say that? How can you say love is not that important, right? Let me ask you a question. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? What was his response? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And he stopped, right? That was it. That's the greatest. The interesting thing is nobody asked him what the second one was. But he gave it anyway, didn't he? The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. I don't know about you, but I am not the type of person that easily demonstrates love verbally. I know that the younger generations, I love you, man, is easily said, easily shared, hugs all over the place. It drives me nuts. Okay? Number one, because I have know they have no clue what love means when they say that. Number two, I've been convicted that love is such a thing that is not to be thrown around flippantly. And it's something that I think God is moving in our midst and moving in my heart specifically. You know, in John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus also says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And if you teach the right doctrine, and if you show up every Sunday morning for church, and if those things aren't in there. You know, I've, in my mind, had all these qualifiers in how I am to express love to one another. If you deserve it, I will express love. If I don't feel you deserve it, well, there are other things we need to talk about before we talk about love. But brothers and sisters, I don't see that in the Word. I don't see it here. I intended to talk about the whole chapter, but I got stuck on the first verse. Because I think this is where we see it day in, day out, is how we talk to one another. So let's look at the first verse again, and it should be up there on the screen. So if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Without love, that's what it is. If I were just to say that, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. All of you would argue with me, right? Because that's what we think. No, I'm telling you the way it is. But am I doing it with love? So as we look at this verse, what are the tongues of men? Well, they can be fine-sounding arguments, can't they? They can be good things. I mean, we have things that we put forward as truth, and we can say those things, and there's nothing wrong with those things because they are truth. But if I just say them, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And sometimes, as we hear these things, as we hear the speech of one another, it's easy for us to justify our speech. Well, they needed to hear that. And there are times when that's true. There are times that we need to hear a gong to get our attention. I was a parent of young children. I remember when there's chaos going on in the house and something needs to happen to stop the chaos. There are times for a clanging cymbal to get everybody to quiet down. But brothers and sisters, if it's not met with love, if it's not followed with love, it is worthless. It becomes worthless. It isn't heard. What happens if I were to stand up here banging a gong as I'm talking? Sooner or later, you wouldn't be able to hear what I'm saying because the gong drowns out the words. And if I continue to bang the gong long enough, you're all going to get up and leave, aren't you? I would. Not something that we want to hear. Even the tongues of angels. I mean, can you imagine the sound of angels when we get to heaven? Beautiful. Beautiful sounds. This tells us that they're nothing without love. Wow. Love is important. Noisy gongs and clanging cymbals are hard to ignore. They can drown out our words. And I think Paul here was concerned that others wouldn't hear the love of Christ because the love was removed from the communication. If we look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, Paul says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Wow. That is communicating love. if we point people to the cross. So let's look at this verse in another way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have love, they'll hear me. Right? We heard earlier in the beginning of this conversation that Jesus said the greatest commandment is that we love the Lord our God and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. The only way that we can avoid sounding like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal is to include love. We also see that in Revelation that love left the Ephesian church. Though they had many admirable qualities, it was surrounded by all these good things that they were doing, that they were paying attention to, but they had lost the love they had at first. So the first thing that I want to stress in the importance of loving communication is that we need to understand one another. We need to understand who we are in Christ. We need to understand what God has given us in the picture of the spiritual understanding that only comes from God. There's a passage in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 and 24 says, "All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor." That's a tall order, folks. That is something that is impossible to do on our own. You know, I love y'all a lot. More so today than maybe a few weeks ago. But I want to tell you, without the love of Christ in my heart, I can't accomplish this. It doesn't happen. It's too easy for me to focus on what I see, on what I observe on the outside. It's too easy for me in seeing what I see you do, seeing what I see happen around us, to think wrong things about why you do what you do. I don't know that. Only God does. For me to assume that I know everything that's going on in your life and that I can honestly judge why you did what you did is a gross overstatement of my ability in my character, because I don't have that ability. There are certain things that we know from the Word that are right and wrong, and we need to stand on those. But brothers and sisters, the things that cause division in our homes, the things that cause division in our church, in our country, are not usually the things that we see that are obvious. You know, right now we're in the process of painting some rooms, making things look pretty, putting new carpet down. I've got to be honest, in my flesh it scares me to death because somebody's not going to like the carpet color. And they're going to be convinced that because we chose that carpet color, we don't like them, and therefore they need to leave. Tell me it's not true. It happens. And it's wrong. We communicate in love. If you're hurt that the carpet's a certain color, man, come talk to me and let me try and convince you it wasn't because that's the color you didn't want. But that's what we think. We are convinced that, by golly, they chose that color just because they knew I didn't want it. Folks, I'm picking on this because it's easy to laugh at. But there's so much that happens in our lives that's not funny, that we can't laugh at because it hurts. It's painful. As we think about these things, it's important that to understand that there are times to emphasize truth. Please don't read into this that love covers everything, because that's not the case. But I want you to know that these are competing thoughts. Paul even wrestled with this in 1 Corinthians. In chapter 4, we see from Paul that I shouldn't judge because I don't know. But yet, just a couple chapters later in chapter 6, he's saying that it's not right that the people take things to court, that they should judge between themselves, right and wrong. So there are competing struggles that we have to deal with. But I want to just look at Ephesians chapter 4 and talk about how does love sound as we communicate with one another. And these are just some verses that I've pulled together out of chapter 4. They're not all right there together, so if you can read off the screen, I know they're small, but it says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, which we saw again repeated in Revelation chapter 2, right? John confirmed that in Revelation, that they were doing those things with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Therefore, having put aside falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity for the devil. Do you realize our anger gives God or the devil an opportunity in our lives? Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for the building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed in the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. From these verses, I would say it doesn't appear that the church at Ephesus had lost the love it had at first. So we saw some of the key components of communicating love: humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, maintaining unity, speaking the truth in love. Honesty is in that, right? Recognizing that we are members of one another. Not giving the devil an opportunity. Satan wants to destroy what God has put together. Put away bitterness, wrath, slander, malice. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgive one another. Titus chapter 3 includes a lot of these same thoughts. But you know, as we walk through life together, as we go through what we face in our communities, what we face in society today, There's a lot of turmoil out there, folks. I pray that it doesn't happen in the church. But I want to share with you just a couple of illustrations as I close. I know this will go just a little bit long, and I'm sorry for that. But the next slide shows the Nashville Statement. Frankly, probably most of you don't know what this is. This is something that was published this week by the Coalition of Biblical Manhood and Womanhood. And it's a statement of articles on human sexuality and the biblical understanding of what that means. It is critical, folks, that we understand this, that we're able to communicate it clearly. But if we don't include love, the message is lost. This is a tremendous document, don't get me wrong. It is signed by a number of people that we all look to, we trust, we know. It's a great thing. The only downside I'm going to say today is the timing of it, unfortunately, coincided with what's going on in Houston. And because of that, it gave people an opportunity to throw arrows at just that without even addressing the content. But the thing that I want to say to you, it's made up of two parts. First, there's a preamble. And second, there are 14 articles. And I have a copy of it. If you want it, let me know. I'll get it to you. It is excellent. But I'm also going to say that if we take those 14 articles, while they're good, while they're righteous, while they say the right things, if we take them by themselves, they can be the clanging gong, the noisy cymbals, that the culture will not hear the true message. You put with that the preamble. The preamble tells why this is put together, what it's for, that our concern is for the love of all people as Christians, that for people to truly be whole, to truly be fulfilled, they need to understand the God-given order of creation and how they were made. And with that empathy, with that love and concern, now we can talk truth. And I want to share with you something that God did to me recently. I had a conversation that I was dreading coming up. And it was one of those conversations where I knew that it had the potential to go really well, really bad, be really awkward, or somewhere in between. And I met for lunch and had a conversation, and it started out fine. We talked. We had a couple of issues that were between us that were significant, and that neither one of us were budging on. We were speaking truth to one another. We were having a conversation about truth, and we said our piece, and we left. And I would put it in the poor to awkward category at this point. It was one of those times where I didn't know what to do. I was stuck. And I had been in the process of preparing for this message. And after I went back to work, after lunch, I sat at my desk, and frankly, I was having an awful time getting any work done because I just kept mulling over in my mind, what's going on, what's going on? And I felt the Lord say, do you really think that there's a more excellent way? Do you really believe that? I was just blown away. I said, what do you mean, Lord? I love them. That's why I was saying what I said. Lord said, I don't think they know it. I don't think that that person has a clue that you love them. In that, God just broke my heart. And I said, okay, I need to send them an email. So I'm sitting at my desk mulling over the thoughts in my head. What am I going to say? Okay, I'm ready to draft it and send it. So I opened up my computer. And as I was getting ready to do this, I had this thought in my mind. I need to hurry up and send this so that in case God's working on his heart too, I send my email first. Do you see how insidious Satan's lies are, folks? My pride was in the way. As I was doing that, I opened up my email. Boom. There's an email from him. Thank you, Lord. I'm broken again. My pride. As I thought about that, I just unfolded the email, typed it up, sent it. As soon as I sent it, the peace of God just overwhelmed me. And I sat at my desk with tears running down my face because God had ministered grace to me. He poured his love out on me. So much so that I could set aside these issues between myself and this other person. And I could deal with that in love only. And as I did that, I was just smiling at my desk. And it wasn't 5 minutes later. I had people praying for me about this meeting that knew of it. And I greatly appreciate that. 5 minutes after I sent the email, I get a text from Ken Coots encouraging me to reach out and just follow up. And I just laughed because I had a brother who thought enough of me to say, hey, why don't you do this? It'd be a good thing. And I just laughed and texted back, thanks, I just did. You don't know how good that felt to walk in obedience to the Father. So as I'm at this point, it's late in the day. I'm worthless anyway. I told myself I'm going to take work home, regroup, and finish my afternoon at home, even though it's already 5:30. So as I go out to my car, I get my car, and as I get my car, I always pull my phone out and set it on my in my car. And I just happened to notice that I had an email. And I opened the email, which is really unusual. I don't do that normally. I opened the email, and here's a reply to my email. And really all it said is, I'm sitting here weeping. And God again ministered grace to me. As I read that, I get in my car and I'm driving home. For those that don't know, I work in Bowling Green. And I drive up 25. Praise the Lord, it's a 4-lane highway. with a divided median in a lot of places, but not all. Because on the way home, there are tears just streaming down my face. I'm sobbing because I'm so excited for what God has done in my heart. He has shown me that in my doing good, in my self-righteousness, and I use that word on purpose, that I had lost what I loved at first. I was not demonstrating the love that I had at first. And he just broke my heart. And to make it even more fun, as I'm driving home, about halfway home, I think I've got this under control. You know, I'd stop sobbing. I could at least see the road. I know I should have stopped and pulled over. We'll have that conversation later. But anyway, I thought I would call Ken and give him an update of what God had done in my heart. And granted, now this is about 20 minutes from the time Ken and I texted till now I tried to call. Praise the Lord, Ken didn't answer the phone because I wouldn't have been able to talk. For those that don't know me well, I'm not an emotional guy. I don't cry a lot. But God broke my heart, folks. He caused me to see my own lack of love and how I communicate. And I continued to sob the rest of the way home. And I walk in and, okay, the tears are gone. I can talk to my wife. And I continued for the next 20 minutes as I shared the story with her to continue to sob. Frankly, I don't know how I've made it through this without sobbing, but by the grace of God. Folks, I just want to encourage us. How we communicate love to one another is vital in our body. It is so important that I want you to know that God is so good. God is precious. He deals with us in the way that we need to hear it. And I just want to encourage you this morning that if God has used my brokenness in your heart, that you let him deal with you, because it brings such joy. I can't tell you the excitement that I have to love on each one of you. I can't tell you the joy that it brings to know that that first love, that love that I had at first, is there. I never thought it was gone. Please don't understand that I did something wrong, that I thought I was, I didn't say anything improper in this conversation as far as words go. I just didn't say enough. Sometimes we get in such a hurry to explain the truth that we lose sight of love. And that's what had happened. As we love one another, I think it's important that we understand that we don't want to be a church full of noisy gongs or clanging cymbals. We don't want to be people that are known for being noisy gongs and clanging cymbals in our community. The word tells us that it's the love of the brethren for one another that will draw people to himself. Folks, we need to be contagious. When people walk in the door here that have never been here before, I pray that they see the love of Christ. that they don't see the things that we disagree about with them or with one another, but that they see the love of Christ. Don't get me wrong, there are people who claim to be Christians that disagree with that Nashville statement. And they're making themselves known. But why are those the issues? The issue that draws people to Jesus Christ is the love that we have for one another. And I would challenge us, how do we communicate that with one another and with the world around us? Let's pray. And we'll just close in prayer because we're late this morning. Father, I am thankful for the work that you've done in my heart. And Father, this morning, if there's anybody here that, first of all, is struggling with an understanding of why this would be important, Lord, I pray that we could help with that. First of all, if there's no understanding that we are all sinners saved by grace, that, Lord Jesus, you came to the earth willingly to suffer and to die, as we remembered this morning. Lord, we just cry out to you and thank you for the love that was demonstrated on the cross for us. And if there's some here that have never understood what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to be one who knows him, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would work in their hearts this morning to open their eyes, to see you and to know you, to know that first love. And Lord, I thank you this morning that as we are here, gathered in your name, that you command us to love one another. And I pray we do that. Father, there might be some among us who need to forgive or who need to be forgiven. And Father, we ask that that take place. Lord, I thank you for your demonstrated love on the cross, that while we were yet sinners, while we were talking vile things about you, you came. Without a word, you hung on the cross and said, Father, it is finished. I have done your will. My blood is shed for these people. They are yours. We thank you for that. We thank you for your love for us, Lord Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.